God gave me a scripture for you for today. It's found in Matthew 24, beginning with verse 37. For the coming of the Son of Man, how many of you know we are really close to the return of the King? I mean, it's just the air is just filled with expectancy. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them away. Whew, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We are so close to the return of the King. We're to continue until, not hold back, but to boldly step into who we are. When I asked the Lord about this, how many of you have read that scripture before? You know these are as the days of Noah, right? Well, as in the days of Noah, what was happening in men's heart back in that day? Evil continually, right? So God is saying that today, here in the United States of America and around the globe, the thoughts and intents of man's heart is evil continually. That's why we have a proliferation of human trafficking. We have brother against brother, nation rising against nation, pestilence here, destruction there, mass graves, serial killers, all kinds of wickedness going on. And I feel an incredible sense of joy. I can't even explain the joy. I just know something good is happening. Remember when I spoke about a crisis or an explosive event that precipitates an action of God? We had, when he gave me an example years ago, he told me to remember the Alamo. How many of you remember the Alamo? Yeah, not personally. They were so totally overrun. The small band of Americans, ragtag band, Davy Crockett was one of them, Kit Carson was another, in this fort that was being besieged by an army that outnumbered them by thousands. And they bravely faced their death. And out of that was born a war cry. And Texas was born. Texas became a part of America. 9/11, terrible trauma. It launched America into a war that we're still in today. And it has shaken the foundation of our nation. When Pearl Harbor happened, America was not willing to get into the war. Now, they were having a terrible war in Europe at that time, and Japan was waging a war, but America was trying desperately to stay out of it, to stay neutral. But when she was attacked at Pearl Harbor, America was launched into the war, and we mounted up. I mean, we rose up. A sleeping giant had awakened. And I'll tell you what, I feel that same thing, that same sense of expectancy, that something is coming, gang. Hold on to your hats. Something is going to shake us to our core. We will rise up. There is something in the heart of the church that God has been awakening now for a number of years, and I feel the touch of the Holy Ghost that's strong. I challenged the ladies this morning that God had called them to be like Wonder Woman, and that they are called to be conquerors. The word of the Lord says we are more than conquerors. And when the Lord said that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, he was saying the greater one, or the older one, Greater also means oldest. The oldest one is inside of you. How many of you know God's really much older than we are? And he will always be much older than we are. And he's on the inside of us, and he's drawing us to a place of so trusting him in his greatness that God can use us to do something that can turn a nation, turn a whole generation. We have a generation of young people that are desperately looking for answers. We have a generation of older people who have been terribly disillusioned and ready to let go, and they're waiting for somebody to say, you can do it. God is at hand. Get into the ark. The flood is coming, but God's deliverance is at hand. A number of years ago, and I'm not sure if I shared this here, but you know, I like to share stories. I'm a storyteller. And you'll hear it more than once. Get used to it. God will speak different things to you the second time than he did the first time. That's why it's important to repeat a story. At least that's what I tell myself. You know what my son does when I repeat a story? To let me know how many times I've repeated that story, as if he needed to keep track. Goodness gracious. God sent me a dream. In the dream, he was calling me. I had been invited by President Trump. I'm not trying to get political. This is just the dream God sent me. I was invited by President Trump to come to a meeting. And when I came to the door of the meeting, a woman and I were walking together, and behind me was President Trump and another man, and this line stretched way back, two by twos. We were walking into this processional, into this hall. And I turned to the woman that was with me, and I said to her, shouldn't President Trump be leading this entourage? Just then, Dutch Sheets hurried up to me. Do you know who Dutch is? I love Dutch. Dutch and Cece, great people. Dutch chided me. He said, Mary, would you deny this opportunity? My two daughters were invited also. And I realized we were coming in by twos. Just then I stepped up on the platform and it became an ark. And I realized God was calling us into the ark. And I woke up. What does that tell you? Come on, this is not pass fail. What does that mean? Pardon? I'm getting older. The time is close. Good. What else? Oh, that's a good point. I never thought of that. What else? He's coming. Is that what you said? Yes, he's coming. Why are we being called into an ark? Safety. Oh, the flood is coming. I thought you said he is coming. Well, they both. I get my hearing aids next week. Yes, the flood is coming. That was it. He's coming. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Who? Listen, what's coming? Look at that. The coming of the Son of Man. He is coming. But why an ark? Why was God showing me an ark? This is real important for you. You know, in the book of Genesis, when it speaks about Noah's ark, it was pitched within and without. That word pitched is the root word for atonement. It's a place of safety. It's a place of cleansing. It's a place of being where you're supposed to be at the right time. It's important not to miss the boat. Get on board. Get on board. God is calling his people to get on board. He also spoke something else to me. I knew when I stepped up on that platform and it became an ark that I was being chosen. And when I woke up, God said to me, many are called, but few are chosen. And he reminded me of the scripture in Genesis 7 where the voice of the Lord went out over all creation, all that had breath, neshama, that breath that fills your lungs, that a baby cries when it first is born. Everyone who had that, every animal that had that, heard the call. But only those that had the ruah breath came. Same chapter, two different breaths. One is a breath of life. The second is the breath of living, the living breath, the breath of the Spirit. Those animals obeyed the Spirit. It was a picture. So now when God is calling us into the ark, God is looking for those that have the ruah breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God. He is wonderful. Best thing that ever happened to me outside of salvation was receiving the Holy Ghost. I love him. Man, did he transform my life. I mean, I didn't tell my husband for 3 days because I wasn't sure how to explain this roaring wind I heard. I knew it was in the Bible somewhere. But 3 days later, we were sitting at the dinner table, and Tom was sitting across from me, and he put his fork down, and he looked at me, and he said, Mary, what in the world has happened to you? How did he know? Ruah. Holy Spirit changes you, gets you ready. You have been called for a purpose. Every single one here. You have been anointed by God. He has put a mark on you. The word says that he wrote you on the palm of his hand. Right? You're etched here. That means you can't erase it. God's hand is pretty big. And your name is there. Do you know the interesting thing about God's hand? That's the hiding place of his power. Now, isn't it interesting that he would put your name on his hand where the hiding place of his power is? And in Job, it says he covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike the mark. That word, strike the mark, is the Hebrew word pagah, and it means intercession. It means to step in the gap on behalf of. It means to stand between judgment and blessing and see someone come through. It means to bear someone's burden and carry them into a place of safety. It means to be one who picks someone up and says, come on, we're going to the ark together. Come on. That's pagah. It's coming alongside. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. And it's found in the hand. He covers the hand, his hand, with lightning. Have you ever felt the lightning of God? Anyone here? If you have, would you raise your hand if you felt that lightning? Two hands? Three? Four? How many of you want to feel the lightning of God? I'm a storyteller. Can I tell you some lightning stories? I probably told you this before, but remember when I repeat a story, what happens? You get something different out of it. My dad, my stepfather, was about 6'4", Irishman, great big guy, strong as an ox, and I used to line my friends up and bring them into my dad, and I'd ask him to make a muscle. And he'd make a muscle, great big thing, hard as a rock, and I'd have all my friends feel that muscle. Because it was so hard, it made me feel safe, because my dad was so strong. And we had a lot of violent things going on in our neighborhood, but my dad could beat up your dad. Essentially, I was getting the message across. One day I was praying for this lady in our church, sweet Baptist lady, and she wanted the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She was sitting on a roll of carpeting because we're recarpeting our church. And I came up to her to pray for her, and she was shaking. She was so afraid of the Holy Ghost, but she wanted him. Always want the Holy Ghost. I know he's scary, but he's also wonderful. So she was asking for the Holy Ghost. And when I put my hand on him, power shot out of me right here, like a fist, like a lightning bolt, slammed her in the chest. She shrieked and flew over backwards, and I grabbed her hand so she wouldn't land on the cement floor. And she was shouting loudly in tongues. She had an infilling of the Holy Ghost and power, and it scared me. And I said to the Lord, Father, what was that? What was that? And I heard the Father say, oh, I just made a muscle. He just made a muscle. And that, where did the lightning come from? The Holy Ghost really is inside of you. The greater one is inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We are going to press into the release of the lightning of God. I believe God is calling his chosen ones to come into that powerful presence of God. This is your destiny. You were born in this hour for such a time as this, so that you would be one who would carry and release the power of God so it can shoot out of you and heal someone. The lightning of God, the power is in his hands. You are in his hands. You're engraved in his hands, and you are part of the Holy Ghost power that God wants to release, to heal, to deliver. He wants you to be the head and not the tail, more than conquerors. And he wants you to feel that lightning power of God. I know we don't go by feelings. I've been told that forever. I kid you not, I want the feelings. Listen, I'm human. I have to have the feelings. I've told God this. I mean, he knows, you know, he loves your humanity. Be real with him. Don't be holy, be real. He is holy. Let the Holy One manifest. Huh. Purpose. I want to ask you a question. Who are you? And what is your purpose? Does God have a purpose for you? Does he have an assignment for you? This place, this family, is where you begin to work out a purpose in a corporate setting. Your household is where you work out your purpose in a family setting. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, before you were born, I knew you. I have inscribed, etched, written you on my hands. You know what that means? It can't be erased. Your name is on his hand now and forever. And when he extends his hands of blessing, your name is there. It's part of your inheritance as a child of God. And you don't have to earn it. You don't have to perform for it. That's why God tells us to consider one another as holy before the Lord. Not to consider us as rascals. You rascally rabbits. He doesn't want us to look at one another as less than. He says, esteem others as higher than yourself. always take that low road of humility. When I was awake in the middle of the night, all night last night, partway through the night, I had this very carnal thought. I should write a book about these revelations God's giving me. Yeah, I think I'll do that. Let me see, I'll title it 10 Easy Lessons in Humility. And I started to laugh because I knew God was tweaking. You know, God pulls your chain a little bit to get your carnal mind back on track with Him. That was God saying, come on, baby, get back on the road. I believe God's going to call many of you back on the road. Your mind has wandered off into other pursuits. There's nothing wrong with natural pursuits, but pursuing God must be number one in everything. God told me years ago, because I love books, I'm a bibliophile, I have bookcases for books I haven't read yet, and I've given away 5 cases of books, and I still have 5 bookcases. I'm working on it. But God showed me that if I look for Him, I would find Him in everything. Everything. Always look while you're seeking your purpose and in your journey, where you're supposed to be. God will show you where He is in everything. If He's called you to work in the prisons, some of you have been called to work in the prisons. Where's our prison guy? Oh, you're the prison guy. Huh. Do you know what God told me about prisons? God told me, because we were praying for our prisoners in Alaska, He said that He loves freedom and the devil loves bondage. And He said the devil will send in workers to trip up those prisoners who are captive. But the Lord will send in workers, that's you, to begin to bring in the light of the gospel into that prison setting. For the Lord is going to call you a man who sets people free. He's called you a prisoner of hope. He's put a certain hope in you. You can tend to be cynical, but God says there's a certain hope in you that will set people free. He's simply asking you to embrace the miracle of His presence that you carry in the prisons. It will unlock doors. And He's giving me this scripture of the time when Peter was in prison and he was chained between 2 guards and the church was praying for him to be free. And the angel came into the prison. The prison doors opened. He kicks Peter and says, get up, boy. And the chains fell off of him. And they began to walk out of the prison doors and the doors opened in front of them. The Lord says He's sending you like an angel into the prison because of what you carry. You have been deliberately called of God to this position. But God's going to change the position. You're getting ready to make a shift. I don't know what position you hold, but I know you're getting ready to make a shift. God's going to open a door for you, a prison door. He's going to unlock that door for you, and it's an impossible job. Impossible door, or you shouldn't even qualify. They shouldn't even consider you. But God's getting ready to thrust you into a new arena where your influence will become wider. But the Lord says you will run into opposition, and you're going to need the wisdom of the Lord. You're going to need to know when to go in, when to go out. Politics can be a mess. Even in a political system, there's politics. But God's going to show you how to dismantle certain things that have been established in prisons. It's not impossible. When God sent a husband and wife, into our prison system in Alaska, it started changing the prisons. They went to the maximum security prison down in Lemon Creek, south of Anchorage, and they ministered to this young man named Chris. Chris had been incarcerated at 15 He had murdered someone, so he was sent to prison for life. They tried him as an adult. Here he was now. He's in his late teens, early 20s. And this couple was sent into that prison and led him to Christ. He became so full of the Holy Ghost, he began to hold cell meetings, literally. And he began to lead prisoner after prisoner after prisoner to Christ. All it takes is one. God's going to show you the one. And he's going to show you how to reach him. What is your name? Frank. Is this your son? Hallelujah. I am going to finish this message, I promise. Okay. Purpose is like showbread, consecrated, set before the Lord. All of you have a purpose. Every single one of you, it's predetermined purpose, but you have a choice. God says that he's calling the chosen. Many are called, few are chosen, but you choose to be chosen. Did you know that? You choose to be one that chooses, that is chosen by God. He's looking for the people who say yes to him and to his will in their lives. And when you say yes, suddenly the purposes of God begin to unfold. I'm working now with a couple in Alaska, wonderful Eskimo couple. They're very dear, dear friends. But Robert had, he had a resistance to the Lord. He loved God. But there was something in him. He's a man. He wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to forge his own destiny. He wanted to call the shots. He wanted just, he didn't want to have to be in church all the time. And one day, he went to a conference down in Texas, and they are shouting and dancing and whirling and doing all kinds of wild, crazy worship. And he kneels down in the middle of this chaos, and the Spirit of God comes upon him and asks him, "Will you say yes?" And he finally bowed his head, yielded his heart, and said yes. That's all he did. Oh, my time's up. It really is up, you guys. The first time I've ever used a timer and it works too fast. All he had to do was say yes. And the purposes of God began to unfold. God began to bless him. When you say yes to God and to your destiny, blessings begin to come your way. When he went to church after that, a prophet in our church came up to him and said, "I see God giving you a $50,000 check. You're going to buy a new green truck." How many of you would like a prophecy like that? I'm sorry, I didn't get that kind of word for you. I'm seeking one for myself. Shortly thereafter, his native corporation gave all of their shareholders $50,000. And he bought a green truck. Say yes to the Lord. Say yes to his destiny. Stop fighting God. You don't understand him? I don't understand him. Get real, I hardly understand myself. But God is unfolding a revelation of who he is. He's wonderful. Just in case you didn't know, he is wonderful. Wow. Wow. Ooh. Wonder Woman. Yeah. What's your name? Yes. That's, oh, Holly. Why is that name familiar? Are you Kenny Rogers? Are you connected to Kenny? I love Kenny. He's a good man. Holly, God says that the blessing of God is upon you. His favor is upon you. And he says he's calling you into a place within him that everything else is going to fade away in importance when it comes to loving on him. God's going to show you. He's going to change some things. He's going to tweak some things in the way you process, the way you think. He's going to cause your mind to start lining up with the will of God in a way that's unusual, because he's called you to a place of discerning of spirits, and he's calling you to keenly seek after that gift of discerning of spirits. That's discerning angelic spirits. You're going to start seeing angels. They visited you already, but you're going to recognize them now. And he's going to also cause you to discern some demonic spirits. That doesn't mean you need to be afraid. And it doesn't mean you're suddenly thrust in the middle of a deliverance ministry. So don't be afraid of that. A lot of times when God shows me a demonic spirit, what he's doing is he's uncovering the plan of the enemy so I can pray against that plan. And God's going to show you how to do that. But he's also going to reveal to you the human spirit, starting with your own and your husband, Nathaniel, and your children. You're going to discern hidden things that they don't even understand. There'll be times when they'll be frustrated because they don't know why they did a certain thing, and God will suddenly show you why. And you'll be able to give some wise counsel. And I believe that God is telling you, Nathaniel, Holly's going to come into a place of real wisdom, and a spirit of counsel is going to come upon her. And there'll be times when you don't have an answer to something, and God wants you to pray with Holly until the answer comes. Because together, you're going to find God unlocking some real wonderful revelation so that your walk is real steady. He wants you two working together. Maybe you need to watch Wonder Woman together. Sorry, that's on my mind. Okay. I know I could go on, but I had determined tonight that I'm going to be conscious of the time. That's why, for the first time ever, I set a timer. You know, when I was preaching at this church, and when you're in the spirit, you lose track of time. You're sort of like an artist who will paint all day and don't even realize hours have gone by. And I had been preaching up a storm, and man, that sermon went on forever. Finally, I stopped and I said, "How long have I been preaching?" And one of the men in the front row said, 2 hours, but don't stop now." They hadn't turned their clock ahead. They'd turned it back. They'd made a mistake on the timing, and I didn't know 2 hours had gone by. So tonight, 45 minutes have gone by, and I'm going to pray for you. For those of you who would like to have prayer, I'm going to pray a corporate prayer. Just stand to your feet. Glory. Hallelujah. I happen to be someone who has trained on prayer, taught in all 50 states on strategic prayer, prophesied all over the world, and I know that God is the only one who makes anything happen. So when I pray, I want you to reach out and lay hold of that part of the prayer that quickens in your spirit, and your heart says, "Oh, I want that." Immediately claim that and begin to declare it to the Lord. "This is mine, Father. This is mine. I say yes. I say yes to this word." And you will activate the power of prayer in your life and the power of the word in your life. I can pray the prayer as the Holy Ghost moves me, but you must activate that prayer by believing. You willing to do that? All right, close your eyes and get ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, send the prayer. Send the prayer, oh God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is coming like a rushing mighty wind. the Holy Ghost is coming with a fresh baptism of fire. The Holy Ghost is coming to burn up the chaff, but first he will winnow your field, and he will shift things into the air so the wind will blow away the chaff. And the Lord says, if you say yes to the King, he will cleanse that chaff and it will never come back to bite you again. And the Lord says, the enemy has set a snare for your feet, a snare of words and accusation. But tonight, the Spirit of God breaks the power of that accusation off of you, off of your children, off of your spouse, off your family line, and off of your job. The Lord is getting ready to give some of you a promotion in the on your job, and he's going to open a door of opportunity for you. And God says, will you say yes? Will you not be afraid? But will you obey me and allow me to enlarge you? But the Lord says, there are some of you that I am going to bring to a place of diminishing so that you can kneel and go through the eye of a needle, and on the other side will come increase, says the Lord. And the Lord says he's getting ready to call you to cross over the Jordan. For in crossing over the Jordan, you will come into a possessing of your inheritance. And the Lord says you must leave some old things behind in order to cross over. And tonight the Lord is going to begin to show you what you must leave behind. Let the fear of man be gone. Let the accuser of the brethren no longer dwell in your household, but let the Lord put a guard on your tongue from this day forward that you may not sin against the Lord. And the Lord says he's going to unlock the purse strings so you can become a true giver into the kingdom. And the Lord is going to show you those that you must give to unlock the resources. And the Lord said, do not fear. You will never run out of resources, for the Lord has more than enough for you, and he will bring increase to those who say yes to him. He will bring increase to those who choose to believe him. And the Lord says, in your walk, you will prosper. In your walk, you will find wisdom. In your walk, you will find new direction. And in your walk, you will find new authority. But the Lord says, look to the King. He is giving out blessings in this hour, and he will give out more blessings than you even know to ask for. Stop holding back. Begin to ask for big blessings. For the Lord says, many of you are asking too small. God wants your faith stretched so that next year at this time, you will have birthed a powerful faith that is so much bigger than where you are tonight, says the Lord. Just say yes to him. Amen.